need to deal with is the silence of God. And I want to speak about this a little bit. But first, let us pay our basis to the Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Ishtaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhiname Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Prachayine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashradaveshadani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shri Vasadi Gaurapata Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Before coming to the USA, I was in Berlin giving food, seeing different devotees, and somehow there was a row of devotees who presented a question to me. One was a devotee who was on a wheelchair, and he said, "I have done so much service for Krishna. I distributed books in so many years, and now I'm tied to this wheelchair. I'm asking the Lord why, and there's only a silence." Another devotee came to me and said, "I've heard from Prabhupada that if I pray to the Lord, then from within the heart he will give me concrete guidance and directions." And he quoted a Bhagavad Gita verse. "But up to now I have not heard him speaking to me." And in this way I met devotee after devotee who said, "I'm trying to reach Krishna, I'm trying to chant his name, I'm trying to serve him, but all I get from him is the look of the deities on the altar, but his lips don't move, he doesn't speak to me." This is a big question in Christianity also. There was a time when the Christians sent the missionaries to Japan, and the Japanese state doesn't like it, so they took the missionaries and they nailed them on a cross and said, you just need to say you don't believe in your God any longer, and we give you good medical treatment and you will be happy afterwards." Now said the missionaries, God has promised to take care of us." Then after a day, the Japanese inquisitors came and asked, "So has he taken care of you? Has he even spoken to you? Has he acknowledged you?" "I heard that there is a movie out, The Silence of God, or just Silence, and it asked this question. I want to ask you, you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you are addressing Krishna, no, just now I've heard. Has he answered back to you? was he silent?
Fine.
This is question. I want to tell you today how the Lord answers and how he might answer to you. There's a beautiful story which I told during the last Living Rain retreat in New Vrindavan about a person to whom the Lord answered. Once there was a foreign ruler of Orissa called Lal Beg. He was very ruthless, and therefore the central government, a foreign government, kept him in office. So one day this Lal Beg, who was planning an armed attack on the temple of Puri to dismantle the temple and to take out the deity of Lord Jagannath. Once this Lal Beg was riding on his horse nearby a pond, and he saw, bathing in the waters of the pond, a beautiful lady. He became so infatuated by her beauty that he dismounted his horse, took a few people with him, and then personally grabbed the lady and brought her home to make her his wife. This lady had the name Lalita. She was, like it was Hindu custom at that time, early married to her husband, who had died an early death, and by the laws of the land society, she was considered inauspicious. The wife, the husband died before the wife, then suspicion was maybe something was wrong in the service of the wife. So she was a widower, an inauspicious person, and when Lal Beg forcibly made her his wife, Lalita thought, I have no chance in the society, Hindu society, if I don't submit to this ruthless ruler, I will be killed by him, so I better submit. Lal Beg called Lalita, gave Lalita a different name, Fatima. And when Lalita became Fatima, very soon she gave birth to a boy whom they called Sala Beg. Soon the father of Sala Beg was taken away from the governmental post. In the association of his new wife, he had become quite nonviolent, because Lalita, or Fatima now, was a very great devotee of the Lord Jagannath. He just did not have the guts to attack the temple of Puri, and as a result the government exchanged him with another successor. And one day, Sal Beg, son, who had been trained by his father in martial arts, he was a very good sword fighter, found himself marching against Puri in an army. His blood was boiling. There would be armed conflict. He had been trained to be a killer. And he was really enthusiastic. But then a skirmish was made. Do you know what this is? An armed attack. Sal Beg, without even having a chance to fight, was inflicted with heavy wounds. The wounds were so heavy that Sal Beg in the evening was crying in his tent. And his mother came. Sal Beg said, "Mother, I can't tolerate another minute of this pain. please give me poison to die. It is so excruciatingly painful, and he had wounds all over, mortal wounds. Now, Lalita, she was known as Fatima. Imagine, she had lost her husband. She had been almost excommunicated by her community. She had been forcibly made a foreign ruler's wife. Lalita was totally disturbed. Here, her only hold, her son, was asking her to kill him. Some of you are mothers. Imagine your child is so desperate that he asks you, kill me, give me death. Lalita said, there is only one help now. One last chance, Salve. But this is not a... Tell me quickly. So... thank you very much. You're a little restless. Should I tell quickly? Yes, I will tell quickly. You, my dear son, must pray to Gopinath. Gopinath, that's a Hindu god. The god of our envy. Lalita said, it is not like that. Gopinath is the only one who can help you now. He resides in Vrindavan Dham. And he comes when we call him. Mother, I thought you were a proper believer, but you are now preaching Hindu Dharma to me. My dear son, said Lalita, my name is not Fatima. My name is Lalita. And I am a devotee of Lord Jagannath, who is also known in Vrindavan by his affectionate name, Gopinath. And I ask you, I beg you, give up religious borders, religious exclusive thinking, and you must pray to Gopinath. Sati answered, Mother, because this body is from your body, I will follow you. But if within 12 days your Gopinath does not appear and heal me, I will kill myself, Lalita said. Son, if after 12 days Gopinath doesn't answer your prayer, I will also kill myself. Okay, what do I do, said Salvek? You just pray, you just think of him. And Lalita told many stories of Lord Gopinath. She described him, as you can see him there on the picture, you know, with the yellow dhoti, the garland, as he walks towards the forest of Vrindavan to meet his dearest devotees who have given up everything for him. Yes, this... she told. So one day passed. 11 days were left. Silence. The 10th day came. Silence. 9, 10, 9, what is it? 8, 7. The duck. Finally, on the last day, Sarabhik said, Mother, it didn't work. Gopinath sometimes tests. Says, Lalita, don't give up so quickly. The night of the last day came. The silence was not broken. Sahabi fell into a sleep. And there in his sleep, in the last minute, as Krishna often does, the Lord appeared. He appeared in his pristine beauty, big eyes, smiling. And he said, Sahabi, you have shown your faith. Here, take these ashes and smear them all over your wounds. I don't know, normally we don't smear ashes over our wounds. But the Tzadik woke up and his hands were full of ashes. He said, that's my last chance. He rubbed the ashes all over his body and the wounds healed. They healed instantaneously so that not even a scar was left. Lalita was beside herself with joy. Tsalvik became a worshipper of Gopinath. His first journey brought him to Jagannath Puri. He wanted to enter the temple of Jagannath, but the pujaris, seeing him to be of a foreign body, did not allow him entry. He was actually removed from the temple gates by force. Sahabi did not crunch. His faith was not broken. He went to Vrindavan and there wrote many songs about the mercy of Gopinath. But being from Orissa and having heard so much about Lord Jagannath, Sahabi finally decided, I must go to Puri. And I will go during Ratha Yatra day when the Lord comes out of his temple. So he went and he ran faster because he needed to be there on time, but he couldn't make it. Meanwhile at Puri, Jagannath's cart, the Ratha Yatra cart, would not move because Lord Jagannath waited for one particular devotee. Do you know his name? Sahabi. Oh, you listen. One of those. So Lord Jagannath waited. They tried to move the car with elephants. It's restless. Lord Jagannath would not move. Finally, after a few days, they saw a fakir running, you know, with torn dress, thought the deity, calling out, my Lord, you have saved me from my external wounds, and you have also cured my inner wounds. You have waited for me and shown that you care for me. My dear devotees, this is one of the many stories where Krishna breaks his silence. Has he broken the silence for you? I think we, the Lord, always breaks the silence, but we need to learn to listen to the Lord. Very often the Lord speaks through his devotees. Very, very, very often. And you have nice devotional exchanges and you open your heart to devotees. At that time, somehow the Lord takes over the discussions. Or very often the Lord begins to answer when you enter during your kirtan or japa into a place where you actually chant his name with some devotion, with a little bit more concentration than we are used to chant. You know, then the Lord gives you a very sweet feeling in the heart of longing for him. Yes, Krishna gives you the devotional movement, the bhakti, the yearning in your heart. And that's another way how the Lord speaks to you. But I personally have discovered one way in which the Lord often speaks to me, and that is when I read the Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time, as I read verse by verse, I feel all of a sudden there's something that speaks directly to my heart, that answers a question, a confidential question, which I always had and always needed an answer for. So these are three ways in which the Lord breaks His silence. When we want the Lord to break His silence, we have to be willing to listen to the way in which He does. So He may not speak to you, oh so and so Sharmaji, oh so and so Patelji, do like this, do like that. And He may speak through the devotees to you. He may choose to speak to you by giving you the qualification in your heart which you need for a more closer association with Him. The yearning which helps you to stop idealizing your normalcy. Should I repeat it? The yearning the Lord gives you so that you stop idealizing your absolutely normal life, which is not much different from the life of so many other compromised people. That yearning which wakes you up, which shakes you, which stirs you, is given by Krishna. And also, He speaks to you as you read in the sacred scriptures, the Bhagavata. A verse comes to you and a problem says something, and you think, how did he know? Did he have a magnifying glass which told him everything which is in my mind? Yes, these are some of the ways in which the Lord speaks to you. But are you willing to break your silence in relationship to Krishna? Thank you very much for listening. Now we will turn the microphone to Vaisheshika. Hare Krishna. But it's better if you listen more carefully next time. You'll be all over the place with your thoughts.
I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and to all of you, because you are Vaishnavas, and therefore you are the most worshipable in all the three worlds. Hare Krishna. And earlier, I was talking to Krishna Narayan Prabhu about the Harinam Sankirtan we have here, because he's born into an artistic family, extra talented in many ways. And he's the one who designs the Sarasanga every year. It's very sublime. You walk in, there's a feeling you get, and it's very subtle, but aesthetically extremely pleasing. But he's like that. Anyway, we've been talking about this for a long time. That is just that, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he performed Harinam Sankirtan, he would frame the kirtan in such a way that it would attract people's attention. He handpicked the dancers. He handpicked the madanga players. He handpicked the singers. Of course, they didn't have microphones, but they would sing in unison and then, you know, have singers that would be loud enough. He wanted to look really nice, and not just not look nice, but he wanted those who were singing to have that feeling that they're actually qualified to sing and participate in the kirtan. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Shivas Thakur's house, where he came there every night with all the other devotees, and they entered deeply into that private kirtan. Others couldn't get in unless they had the right mood. They were entering into it. Sometimes you need that. And to actually discover the depth of the chanting. And then he asked them all to go out and sing kirtan. But it's notable how he wanted it to be attractive to people. And for some years here at ISB, we've had our laboratory, and where we're experimenting with the public Harinam in order to make it attractive. And we've noticed that the more thought that we've put into framing it, the team headed by Shambhavangi and Nilesh and others have developed a festival that you set up, and when people come by, then they get attracted. And especially we notice that if the beat is something and the tune that's something they can relate to, they get more caught up in it. It's like a trance. When I was talking to Krishnamurti earlier, he was saying that the effect would be, I forget which context it was, but they would be arrested by the kirtan. So you've seen this, actually. People are walking down the street, minding their own business. They have this idea of going down to the restaurant. They have a conception of where they are. Effectively, they have no idea where they are. They're just walking on a planet, sort of, with this a misconception that, you know, I'm an American, I'm a Californian, I'm lucky, whatever it is. And then they hear the kirtan, and they are arrested by it. And we watch that. And I think, to me, that's the most interesting and compelling, satisfying vision of the world, to see people get arrested by the kirtan. Partly, it proves to us the efficacy of the kirtan. There's a way in which, in Vedic times, the Brahmins would test their mantras. In fact, they would be able to take an animal, like a cow or a goat, and then they would kill the animal, but the mantras would bring it back. And this was to test the mantra, the efficacy of the mantra. So similarly, we test it by taking it out. What is the efficacy of our own mantra? Are we able to capture our own mind and also the minds of others? But when we actually see it, and we notice that they can't get away, and they see there's something here, as Prabhupada mentions in one purport, that when one begins to hear the sound, that I've never heard anything like that. It's entrancing, actually. You hear it in Krishna. I mean, I remember when I used to hear the devotees chant Krishna, and I couldn't get it out of my head quite. What is that Krishna? It sounds so like, well, Krishna. And then you smell the incense, like, I can't stop remembering the smell of the incense. You know, Krishna gets in you. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, the gopis were saying how, of course, they're eternal associates of the Lord, but they were describing the attachment in poetical terms that they had to Krishna. They couldn't stop thinking of it. It's like mango sap. It gets in your hair. You can't get it out. There's another thing. It's like, yeah, there it is. So Krishna's like that. And so that's the most exciting work that anybody could do. would be to organize ways in which to make people be attracted or arrested by the holy name, and putting all of one's talents, whether it's management or it's artistic skills or it's kirtan, and working as a team, all come together for this way in which that powerful vibration goes out into the public. It's the, after hearing Devamrita Swami's masterful class the other night, I mean, it was just, if this roof wasn't nailed down so tightly, it would be gone by now. But he built such a compelling case in the Sunday program. In a subtle way, he kept showing how futile living in the material world is and trying to adjust things so that we can be happy. And then he pointed out how people have gone back to this idea that, well, we are our bodies, and let's just embrace it, and maybe that'll work. And it's not working at all. It's going the other direction. And then he enticed us that, you know, give you the solution, that we have the solution. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the end, actually, it was so simple what he said, wasn't it? At the very end, he said that if you work for Lord Chaitanya's mission, to try to spread the mission that he started, it will attract the attention of Mahaprabhu. And from that, you'll develop a taste for Krishna consciousness. And when I was speaking with Maharaj when he was staying at our house, we were going over various parts of Shastra in which this is described. One of them is Prabodhananda Saraswati's Chaitanya Chandamrita, where he says that the more that one surrenders to Lord Chaitanya and his process of Sankirtan, the more one develops an affinity for loving Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And there are other places. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about it in the Bhagavad-gita Mahatmya, and of course in the famous song, Gauranga Gera Dyuti Pada, famously Narottam Das Thakur says this, that those who dive into the ocean of Sankirtan come up on the shore of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and so forth. And so, after I heard that, it reminded me of the importance of focusing one's attention on how to popularize the chanting of Hare Krishna, and really using all facility to do that, because that will really solve the problem that people are looking for. And when we spoke some months earlier, maybe it was last year, I was thinking about when some particular substance gets stuck, then you need a solvent. I was really on a solvent kick for a while. Because a solvent means that there's a particular thing, substance, that will unlock the chain that's holding the substance, you know, in your cloth or whatever it is. You know, you can look it up online, maybe it's club soda, you know. For certain things, there's a combination of things. The holy name is the universal solvent. It actually cures the disease people have, it solves their problems. And Rupa Goswami says that even if somebody's completely blind to the truth, they have no idea what you're doing, if they hear the holy name chanted, he said, it gives them in an instant an inkling for what is bhakti. Isn't that amazing? Like they just sense it, you know, it comes out of them, and you see people that they get naturally compelled. They don't even know why, but they're interested, they're fascinated in some cases, and then some are just ready to grab on. Because actually nobody's really got anything better to do anywhere in the universe. That's one thing. Often we think that maybe we're bothering people, maybe they're busy, you know, progress is going on, but it's not. Actually. And you see that when you go out into the public or you go door to door and you meet people and you're bringing books of the holy name, and you just see it's the same old thing going on. And in fact, the devotees were talking about downtown San Francisco. This is really opulent city. It costs millions of dollars to have an apartment in the city. But if you get down on the street level, as I say in English, it's bloody hell. I mean, it's, you know, there's people dying on the street there. Well, yeah, I mean, it's full of homeless people, but dying, their souls are dying too, because it's a concrete canyon, and they're going from one place to the next, as the Amaranta Swami was describing, trying to devote themselves to the cause of work, and it's really killing them. And Krishnamurti Prabhu was saying that wherever people go, they see the same old architecture. If you drive up and down, you know, you see billboards, and you see these box stores. It really is disappointing to the human spirit to see all this stuff. It makes it aesthetic beauty makes a difference to the soul. Prabhupada points that out throughout the Bhagavatam. I was in Okinawa earlier, and that island would be kind of beautiful if there weren't so many U.S. military bases there all over the place. It's a strategic place. I mean, it's really close to China and everything else. So the U.S. has been there for a long time, since World War II. And also, all the places there, all the apartments, houses, they're all built to survive typhoons. And so they're not beautiful. They're like locked down, and there's no pieces that will go flying off. So I was wondering, why is it that this island is not attractive? Of course, the devotees are there, and that's attractive. But other than that, aesthetically, it's not. And then we went back to the mainland of Japan, and suddenly there's, the architecture is different, the design is different, the embellishments are there, and I felt blue bliss just from the environment. So I'm just saying that we're meant to present aesthetic beauty and the actual spiritual sense gratification. That's the only thing that will be able to attract people away from the sense of duty to the material world and their hope that there'll be something here. They have to have a higher taste. And we can do that. So that's why we need more artists in the world. More artists and more beauty, more aesthetic presentation, so that when people see it, you don't have to say anything. It's already thought out. It's already, the heart has already manifested there in the beauty that's presented and the thoughtfulness. And when they see it, they're overwhelmed. And then add that, their heart opens up because of that, and then the holy name goes right in. And then they're finished. It's over. Damage is done. It can't be recovered. So we're meant to do a lot more damage than we're doing now. And we have to really use all the talent that's in our midst, here and around the world, to come together to work cooperatively to make Harinam popular everywhere. It's fine to go out and chant Hare Krishna everywhere. In fact, it's the most recommended thing you can do. But it's even more recommended to think about how to present it so that it becomes the most beautiful thing in the world that attracts people. So my prayer on this day, with the appearance of someone as Sachinandan Swami, who inspires me by his kirtan and the way he lives his life based around the holy name. First time, actually, I met him. I think we're the same age. And what year did you join him? Okay, I'm 56. I'm a couple of years. We're close. And when did you join him? Like Krishna movement? 71, so then 2 years older than me there too. I'm in 73. But the first time I heard about Maharaj, the first time I saw him, I was on my daily parikram. I think it was during the what year was that big attack on the World Trade Center? 2001. It was 9/11. Yeah, we got on the plane after that. There was nobody on the plane. I think it was before Kartik, it was the Purushottam Mass, if I'm not incorrect. Anyway, we're going on Govanet every day, and I'm walking through Radhakund, and there's Jonathan Mas sitting place, and you know, you go around, and there's this stairwell that goes down to Radhakund that's there. So I'm just coming around the corner, and all of a sudden Maharaj pops out of it, and he looks at me and goes, "Chia, chia." He was in ecstasy. And I think it was Satchitananda Swami. I went home and confirmed it. There's two words stuck in my mind when it comes to Maharaj. And so this is a time. We get a lot of ideas here about how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, and we sort of incubate them. And of course, when it's time for them to happen, I think Victor Hugo once said, nothing is so powerful as an idea whose time has come. And we have to incubate these ideas and keep trying for them with all our heart and soul, but keep that vision that of how beautiful it would be to see the Holy Name blow up all over America, modern terminology. And so, I feel like the time's getting close, don't you all?
Yes.
To bring it to the point that we really want to see it and then be able to export it everywhere, New York City and all over the Midwest, Oklahoma, all these places people are drawing up, little spirit souls being oppressed by the material energy. So I feel so grateful, Maharaj, that you came here.
Thank you.
It seems like a harbinger for the next wave of expansion in the Krishna consciousness.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. And we have a few minutes left for some reflections or questions. You can ask Maharaj questions or make reflections. Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In your 18 morals in my chanting, I used to go to your archives and hear your lectures. And hearing the same voice sitting at your feet makes me feel like the dream come true. Thank you for the sitting knowledge. And you said that the Bhagavatam sees through our heart and magnifies. And I really felt that your class was like you saw through the pressing question that I had in my heart. That does Krishna even talk like that? So, my question is, Maharaj, you mentioned in your class that Lord gives youngness so you do not idealize your normal life. So, first part of the question is, does it mean, or do you mean that we do not normalize our material life? Like, I pray to Krishna, I chant, my job goes well, I get money and I get home and everything. Or you talk about the normalization of spiritual life where I chant my rounds, I have Sri Seva, and I do it, and then and everything is going well. Is that why Krishna gives youngs? So that I don't normalize in those two things? And what does it mean by yearnings? Yearnings doesn't mean that Krishna gives me sufferings. And if I have to suffer, then it's painful. But then what is the meaning of Prabhupada saying that chant and be happy if only means suffering? So how do you understand that, Maharaj?
Krishna, you are very thoughtful. Thank you. Very nice to hear these reflections. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says one must see the need of the spiritual soul. And then he says, the need of the spiritual soul is a need for unlimited freedom. And that freedom can only be had when one meets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, for a person who's just starting his or her spiritual life, at the beginning, such a person would think, oh, my life until now is not really satisfying. I really miss something. And at that time, he will yearn, or she will yearn or long to leave the material life. I cannot make compromises. I cannot eat non-vegetarian any longer. I cannot take part in these meaningless social events where I am forced to drink alcohol and so on. So for a beginner, this yearning for the unlimited freedom is in the beginning level, but as you become, let us say, a devotee, another sweet yearning develops. Oh, up until now I have really identified with my body and my mind. I cannot remain on this level. Or I have become sometimes angry, or I have become envious on the successes of others. I've compared myself and thought, oh, this other person is, I wish I could do so good, so good, and I think, I hope he has some mistake. So at some time then you begin to wake up, no, I cannot remain on this unified platform. So yes, there are different types, for different levels of devotees, there are different yearnings. And finally, on a higher level, you will think, I cannot exist without the darshan of Krishna, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown. So there are different levels, and it depends on what type of purification you are on. Krishna doesn't always give misery, so that, that you can wake up from one level, go to the next level, but what he gives is a type of understanding that this is too narrow, this doesn't serve me any longer. And then when Krishna gives you this better intelligence to go to the next level. May we all one day, as we, I like what Vaisheshika Prabhu said, as we become, use our intelligence to spread the glories of the holy name, as we use our intelligence, we will become more purified than we will. You have to have a real thing. Well, thank you very much. So, such a nice sangha, all of you. And thank you, Vaisheshika Prabhu. I very much like when Vaisheshika's ability to bring, let us say, things to a practical step, like he said, let's get our intelligence now together so that we make the chanting in the streets of California and the world. He has a global vision. Arresting, I think was your name. Arresting. We are glued to this. Yes, while doing this, a plan for the spreading of Krishna consciousness, we will become more and more purified. You can see our older devotees, they have gone through purifications. You see them sometimes in the month of Kartika in Vrindavan. I know Vaisheshika Prabhu always goes to Vrindavan down to read Prabhupada's books exclusively and chant. And there are sweet desires and yearning. It goes finer and finer and finer. Thank you.
Mic goes back. Sachin, don't let me know. Pass it back.
Thank you so much, Narayan. It's a very enlightening class. I have one question, and this is an extension to her question, which goes is at a neophyte stage, at least that I, when we chant, and then there's we face a problem in life, and then we keep on chanting, and then we have an expectation that, okay, this problem should go away. It should go away. 1 year, 2 years. My God, it's not going away. There is a problem. Is chanting really working? And then it's Harinama Chintamani. So, Krishna, are you listening? So, is anybody listening? So, and then to push the chanting, it's a chicken and egg problem. To strengthen the chanting, you need more chanting. To develop the faith, you need more chanting. But then chanting itself is at a feeble position. So how can we solve this chicken and egg problem? Just to make sense of that question.
Do you have any idea about
it?
Please.
Well, when I was talking to Maharaj earlier, we had a little time together. And by the way, it wasn't my idea to leave this weekend. I was totally locked in, but I ran into more powerful forces. And I had to go. But Maharaj was so kind, he came over and we had some time together. Because we have this, anyway, it's been really nice. And so, when I was talking to Maharaj, he said something that stuck in my mind, many things, but one of them was that when people come to a seminar, they have a breakthrough experience. They can come to a retreat, like the Holy Name Retreat that Maharaj just did. Yeah, I was so happy to see, I didn't know certain devotees were there, but they checked in with me from there and said, here we are. And I just knew what was happening to them. Having undistracted time to really focus on the Holy Name. I mean, how much time does one get in a normal day, talk about normalcy, to actually focus? 10 seconds? All day? I mean, in a week, in a month. And you could go 10 years and not actually have one quality moment. But if you can get some quality time, it always works. It's not that it sometimes works and sometimes it doesn't. But it's all really about if you give attention to Krishna, at least starting from the level that we're dealing now here in the material world with Krishna in a relationship, he says, just give me your, and all we have to give is our attention. So a very practical experience I've had, you go to a seminar or, you know, a Holy Name retreat for 3 days, you're not the same afterwards. It readjusts everything. So I see it as important to chalk out time to make sure that you have inspirational sadhana. If you can't do it every day and you're out of the rhythm of doing that, then find a place where you can go and get readjusted. Because don't waste another, you know, month, 6 months, year. Do whatever you have to do to make sure you get that so that you come back to that level where I have to have this every single day. That's my solution, is to go to your retreat. Other thing, because Pujari is coming out, hands are going up, Maharaj is here, the aartik will start in about 4 minutes, and as you're all getting used to, I gotta go, because I have an early flight tomorrow morning, and so Maharaj will be still up for it. He mentioned leading the aartik, so you don't want to miss that. And I'm going to make a quiet exit out the door with apologies and with permission from Maharaj. Right when the clock strikes 8. I'm just saying that now. Okay. You had a point, and we have 3 minutes.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for coming. I was just thinking that anytime I have a question in my mind, I usually answer the Prabhupada's quotes or while reading my Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, all through a devotee all the time. And I just wanted to mention that I heard your living. The Holy Name seminar that you did in New Vrindavan, and I was praying that hopefully someday I will listen to it live. And this happened 3 months ago, and I am thankful for the answers about silence and you're here. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you.
What Vaisheshika Prabhu said is really a wonderful thing. We need to sometimes break the cycle of our normal life, and have something like a breakthrough experience. Very nice.
Two minutes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for coming and raising us to your presence. So I had a question, because you were a proponent of mining for a long time. So just wanted to know, like, how we can increase our taste of the Holy Name.
Srila, because we have only now 1 minute and 30 seconds. it's a mighty subject, but Prabhupada once asked the question, how does someone become a drinker? How does he develop taste in this drinking? And then Prabhupada answered his question by associating with drinkers. They drink, they talk about the world and so on. And so how does one increase his taste in chanting by having association with those who have that taste? That's Srila Prabhupada's answer to you, to this question.
So now you have Maharaj to yourself for the weekend. My request is please take really good care of him. He's an international intergalactic treasure. So please give him all facility and honor and listen very carefully and do everything you possibly can for him. And I'll see you back here Wednesday, Krishna willing, I think, right?
Yes.
Right before we get a big jet to fly off for Sadhusana. We're going to see Maharaj again then. So right now we're going to put all the asanas away, roll up this rug, open up the dance floor. The Maharaj will stand over on that side of the room, he'll give him the head mic, or whatever kind of mic he wants, and he'll lead it in the arti, and I do hear you. Thank you very much.
Go pray, Madame.
Thank you.